So in the coming slides, we will understand and try to understand the various types of contracts and how contracts are classified on the basis of its validity, enforceability, on the basis of its performance, and in the formation, how it is formed. There are express contract, implied contract, that is when the action of the parties speak for each other and there is nothing in writing. Express contract is something where there is something in writing, or maybe orally something has been already spoken of. When we talk about validity and enforceability, there is valid contract, void contract, voidable contract, void agreements, and unenforceable and illegal agreements. On the basis of performance, there is executed and executory, unilateral and bilateral under executory. Now, what is the nature of law of contract? Now, in India, it is the Indian Contract Act 1872 which governs the law of contract, the agreements. It has been divided into two parts. The first part speaks about the general principles that govern the contract. As I have spoken earlier, Contract Act in itself is not a legislation wherein you have it's written that A, B, C, D is what is to be done. It is something like a guiding principle where you are talking in your agreement about indemnifying someone. You have to make sure you are in sync with what law of contract speaks about indemnity. What is the principle of indemnity given? Or when you are talking about your terms and conditions, when you are taking assent, you have to make sure that the consent given is a free consent. The parties who are entering into contract have the right to enter the contract and are of the age where they can go ahead and enter that contract. So it's more of a guiding principle. Terms and conditions can be decided by you, but being in sync with these general principles. The part two, it talks a lot about indemnity, guarantee, agency, bailment, pledge, etc. Now, the law of contract, as I have said, does not apply, but it defines the circumstances in which a promise has been made. When a promise is made to you, you have accepted, and when you are deciding your terms and conditions is when you will go back to Indian Contract Act and make sure that you have gone ahead and accepted and made sure that all the principles have been touched upon. You are not going beyond the limit. Now, the Indian Contract Act is not a exhaustive or complete code, because it speaks only about the general principles that you are supposed to follow when entering into a contract, and certain special contract like that of agency, bailment, indemnity, how do you indemnify, etc. Now, what is the nature of contract? As spoken earlier, a contract is promise and acceptance of that offer which makes contract. There are various ingredients, like it should create a legal obligation. It is not necessary that agreement becomes contract. There, along with an agreement, there has to be a legal obligation that you need to fulfill. It differs from other branches. This is more about the rights and duties of mercantile law, of the contract that you are entering into. Here, the parties enter and decide their rights and obligations with the principles laid under the Contract Act. Now, let us see how the contract is defined. We have seen what the Indian Contract Act says in terms of its definition under Section 2H. Let us see what other jurists and philosophers have defined contract as. Sir John Salmon defines contract as an agreement creating and defining obligation between two parties. Sir William Anson says that a contract as a legally binding agreement made between two or more persons, where rights are acquired by one or more to act or forbearance on the part of others. And Indian Contract Acts define contract as an agreement enforceable by law is a contract. Here if you see, what is the most important ingredient in all these three definitions is the legal enforceability. It should be enforceable. If you are trying to enter into a contract with a person who is not a dancer, but you expect her to go ahead and dance on the stage and you enter into a contract, this cannot be legally enforced. You go to the court and say, look here, she entered into an agreement with me saying that she will perform on the stage, but she does not have the capability. Hence, you need to know that there is capability and that can be enforced. Now, what is a legal obligation? Let me start with an example before I come to this slide. There was this case, an English law case, where Mrs. A, Mr. X was required to come to India from England, and he promised that I will go ahead and send you £60 every month. He came here. In the beginning, he kept sending £60 to her. Eventually, he stopped. Now, on the basis of this agreement, this arrangement, she sued her husband saying that, look here, this is the promise you had made and he is not fulfilling his promise, he is not giving it to me. So, the court held that this is out of a domestic obligation and not a legal obligation at all. There has to be a legal obligation. It is not binding. So when I am a domestic obligation is different from legal obligation. In law, are you under the obligation to do that under the agreement? If the answer is yes, I am talking about contract. Because yes, maybe under the personal laws, my husband is required to go ahead and maintain me. But under a contract, is that the requirement? Does that arise into a legal obligation? That is what we are supposed to ask ourselves. If the answer is yes, then it becomes a contract. Okay. So please remember, just because there is an agreement, it does not mean that it will come and be defined as a contract. Okay. Now, when I talk about a legal obligation, it has an obligation which the law should go ahead and enforce upon me. Okay. The common acceptance formed and communicated between two parties must create a legal obligation. If an agreement does not create a duty enforceable by law, then it is not a contract. And hence the statement, every contract is an agreement, but every agreement is not a contract, because the formula is contract equals to agreement plus legal obligation. The moment the legal obligation is not present, it remains to be an agreement and does not form a contract. But if there is an agreement, that is a promise and acceptance, a proposal and acceptance along with a legal obligation, then the formula is complete and it can be termed as a contract. Now, example, A invited B for dinner and invitation is accepted by B. It is obligation of A to prepare the dinner. It is the obligation of B to attend the dinner. But is this a legal obligation? No, these are social obligations. So you should be able to understand the difference between the two. The social obligation does not create legal enforceability of the agreement. Like for example, you have invited me, I said yes, and I did not turn up. You cannot go ahead and sue me for that. Or in turn, you called me and I did not go ahead and you did not cook for me. I can't go ahead and sue you in the court saying, look here, he invited but did not cook. These are social obligations and not legal obligations. Hence, I repeat, all contracts are agreement, but all agreements are not contract. This is a very, very important formula. Now, let us see how jurists go ahead and define legal obligation. Salmon says that the law of contract is not a whole law of agreements, nor it is it whole law of obligations. It is together. It is the law of those agreements which create obligations, and of those obligations which have their source in agreement. It is the source where we have to find is the agreement. Now, obligation which arises from judgments of courts, tort, civil wrong, obligations to maintain wife and children do not arise out of an agreement. They arise out of the legislation. Okay? Hence, they will not constitute to be a contract. When I am buying something from you and you are giving me the service, this is contract. All agreements are contract if they are made with free consent of parties who are competent to contract, that is, I have the ability, I am of the age, for a lawful consideration. Let us enter into a contract to murder A. I will give you 4 lakh of rupees for that murder. There is an agreement, but this cannot be constituted as an contract. You may say that the parties are consenting for free, we both are competent to enter, but the consideration passing is not lawful. The object for which the agreement is entered into is not lawful. Okay, and that's why this kind of contract would be expressly declared as void. Now, what are the essentials of valid contract or elements of a valid contract? The essentials are these various 11 factors. There has to be two or more than two parties, that is plurality of parties. There has to be an offer from someone and acceptance of that offer. There has to be a legal obligation, not a legislative obligation or social obligation. The consideration that passes on should be lawful and not illegal. The object for which you are entering into the contract should be lawful. The parties who are entering into the contract should have the capacity to enter into contract. The consent given, even if I have the capacity, I am 18 years of age, I am 21 years of age, I can enter into a contract, but I need to give you a free consent. There should not be any, even an iota of undue influence, fraud, coercion, misrepresentation, mistake, etc. Okay, there has to be certainty to the contract. It can't be uncertain. There has to be possibility of performance. It can't be so that you make a contract, try to enter into a contract which is not possible to perform. In one day, make the statue of 10 feet high. It's not possible. By one person, definitely not. Okay. There has to be agreement which are not declared as void or illegal, that is, which are not against the public policy. Okay, for example, I would say that you will not be able to go ahead and work for anyone else other than me. That is against public policy. You cannot go ahead and trade with anyone other than me. Please remember, a non-compete clause is different than a public policy, which I am talking right now under contract against public policy. You just cannot work. You just cannot work. It's against public policy. And there has to be legal formalities. Now, what is plurality of parties? As I have said, there has to be an agreement which is by more than one party. There has to be two parties, from one from whom the offer has come, the other who has accepted that offer. Now, you would say that, oh, look here, I am dealing on website. There is no person. The website is not a person. Okay. And I am accepting the terms and conditions and going ahead. So I am the only one person. Please understand, the website belongs to a company. And a company is a legal entity in the eyes of law. Hence, there are two or more parties. Okay. There has to be an offer and acceptance. And that offer and acceptance has to be lawful. Please remember, anything and everything needs to be lawful. Anything illegal, I offer you cocaine. It's not a lawful offer. It's an illegal offer. I offer a 15-year-old child liquor. It's unlawful. It's not a lawful offer. And the acceptance is to be lawful. Again, these are very important things. Legal obligations, as we have already discussed in detail, that it is that whichever agreement we are discussing, entering, has to be a legal obligation. It cannot be a societal obligation or a legislative obligation. Okay. When I am talking about, the contract should be between two persons and there should be legal obligation. Okay. Lawful consideration. Now, what is a consideration? Consideration means that in return of my service, I am giving you something. There has to be a consideration which passes. When there were barter system, as against my wheat, I am taking barley. As against my, I am taking services of mending shoes from you. I'm a farmer. I will give some crop. So there is a consideration which is passing from one person to the other. There is an offer from me, I accept. But in that, I am giving something in consideration. And please remember, consideration is one of the most essential element that forms part of contract. If the promise is made without any consideration, then it will not be considered as a lawful contract, but it would become a void contract. Each party to the agreement must give or promise something and receive something or promise something in return. Capacity of parties, as explained earlier, you need to have, I should have capacity to do or engage myself into the contract. The parties to the agreement must be competent to a contract, otherwise it cannot be enforced by court of law. Okay, if either of the parties do not have the capacity, it will be and invalid. The contract will not be a valid contract. Free consent comes from the fact that the consent, when I am saying yes, I am ready to do this for you. This readiness and willingness to work, to engage, should be free. I should not have any influence. I should not get influenced by anyone. No, but the person who is trying to get my contract, okay, he should not try to create any undue influence. There should not be any fraud, misrepresentation, mistake and coercion. No forcing. If either of these elements are present, then it is not a free consent. Lawful object, as I said, the consideration which passes should be lawful. It should not be illegal, immoral or against the public policy. For example, me selling cocaine, this is against public policy. It's illegal. Hence, the object that is passing is unlawful. It will not be a valid or legal contract. Certainty of meaning. Now, what is certainty of meaning? It means that the contract that you have entered into should be clear, that there should not be any vagueness in it. There should be clarity, it should be precise and certain. When I read, I should be able to understand what is my obligation. When you are reading the contract, you should understand what is your obligation. Okay, coming to next, possibility of performance. Okay, now when I'm talking about a contract, I have to perform something under that contract and in return you will give me something. It could be money, it could be some house, etc. But do I have or is it possible to do that performance? I promising you that I will get the treasure from X place by magic. Not possible. We know that there is nothing like that. So there should be possibility of performing the contract. Agreement not declared void or illegal. Now there, as I said, anything against public policy, there are agreements which become void if they are in restraint of marriage, in restraint of trade, legal proceedings. Entering in a contract saying, look here, you will not go ahead and sue me. This is not a valid contract. It is a void contract. Okay? Anything which is uncertainty, a wagering agreement, these all are void agreements. They cannot be executed and entered upon. Legal formalities. Now, there are no specific pro forma of legal formality. There is nothing specific. Mostly, like for example, if I am entering into an agreement of sale of a immovable property, the legal formality is it needs to be in writing. It can be oral also, but registration of an immovable property above rupees 100 is compulsory under the Registration Act. So this is maybe under Contract Act you will not find any legal formality, but there are other legislations which will tell you that look here, you are entering into a contract, this is the stamp duty you are supposed to pay, this is the registration fees you are supposed to pay, you are supposed to register it, etc., etc. So these are the legal formalities, and it has to be clear. It is clear that all agreement of offer and acceptance alone will not form contract. To form a valid contract, all these 11 elements have to be present. Okay. Now let us understand the classification of contract under the English law. There are various types of contract. Please understand. It may so happen that it is just our action which makes sure that we enter into contract. For example, I get into the bus. I am taking the bus service. It is understood that I will have to pay money for taking that service. Now, a contract can be formal and simple. Contract of records and contract under seal. There is a seal to the contract. Under Indian Contract Act, there are three various classifications on the basis of which contracts are determined. One is on the basis of its formation or creation. Formation would be an express contract. We both express orally and in writing that look here, this is what we are going to enter into. The second is implied contract. The way I gave you example, I get into a bus. It is implied that I have to pay for the bus service. So it is implied. There is no written contract. There need not be expressly said that look here, pay, only then can you enter. It's understood. It's implied. And there is quasi contract. For example, I go ahead and sell a, I have couriered a particular product and by mistake it goes to someone else. Now that someone else uses it, he knows that it is not his product. He was not supposed to get it, but still he uses it as his own. Then in that case, though I have not directly entered into a contract with him, because he has used the product instead of returning it to me, he is supposed to pay me for that product. So these are quasi contracts which also have legal implications as mentioned in the Indian Contract Act. Then on the basis of enforceability, whether it can be enforced. So a valid contract which has all these ingredients, the 11 ingredients, there are proposal, acceptance, legal obligation, consent of the parties, etc., etc. There are void contracts, anything in restraint of trade, which is not with free consent. A mistake, misrepresentation avoidable, but under fraud, under undue influence become void contract. They will not be enforced. Then the third is void agreements, voidable contracts, unenforceable contracts and illegal contracts which cannot be entered into law, like wagering agreements or contracts to sell things like gambling or drugs, etc. And then there are contracts on the basis of the performance, that is executed contract and executory contracts. We will deal in detail at the later stage. Now let us understand one by one what are these various contracts on the basis of its classification. On the basis of creation, there are two, which is express and implied. As I have said, express is something which is spoken of, which is something written. Implied is where it is understood that it will be done, or this is a contract entered. I am plying my bus for a charge. So when you enter my bus, it is implied that you will pay me for that usage of my bus. Quasi contract, it is a contract in which there is no intention on either side to make a contract, but the law imposes. Like for example, I have sent the good to A. It was meant for A, but B has taken that good. So what happens here? And B has used it. So B is supposed to compensate me and he is supposed to pay. Though here there is no intention between me and B. I had in a contract with A, but here B has used my product. So he will have to pay, and these are the contracts which, this is again very important thing. Quasi contracts are on the basis of principle of unjust enrichment. Nobody would be entitled to enrich himself unjustly. That is what is the basis of quasi contract. Now on the basis of validity, valid contract, it is an agreement which becomes enforceable by law when all the essential characteristics or elements are present in the contract. Okay, so all agreements are contracts if they are made by free consent, competent parties, lawful consideration and lawful object. When all these ingredients are present, it becomes a valid contract. What is a void contract? These are the kind of contracts which are not enforceable by law. They are not a contract in the eyes of law. For example, let us assume at the time of entering the contract between two countries, there were no animosity, nothing. Subsequently, war was waged. They have entered into war against each other. The contract becomes void because of the circumstances. You cannot go ahead and execute that contract. Then there are void agreements. Agreements which do not create any legal right or obligation is a void agreement and it is not enforceable by law. Now let us come on. Now is the voidable contract. Now what is voidable? Voidable is something at the option of the promisee, promisor, whether they want to go ahead with the contract or not. For example, there was a mistake which was committed by me. And in that mistake, I have acted. It will be voidable on the option of the opposite party. Whether he will say, okay, theek hai, mistake ho gayi hai, I will still go ahead with it. We will do something about it. I was supposed to I was supposed to give the goods by on the 7th of Feb. But instead of 7th, gave it on 9th of Feb. Okay, I was under mistaken identity, belief that I was supposed to give it on 9th instead of 7th. Now it is on the other side to accept in on 9th or not. It becomes voidable. Okay, now voidable contract is a contract which can be enforced or avoided at the option of the aggrieved party, the one who has suffered. A voidable contract is valid and enforceable if it is not repudiated or it is rejected. If it is avoided by the aggrieved party or he repudiates from the contract, says no, you were supposed to give it to me on 7th, you have not given on the 7th, this contract ends, then it ends. Okay, and also remember, it is only voidable at the behest of the aggrieved party, the one who has suffered. When the aggrieved party avoids the contract, the other party need not perform any promise. The party avoiding the contract restores any benefit he has received. Even under mistake, if it has happened, he has to restore. Again, the principle of unjust enrichment. Unenforceable contracts. It is a contract which is valid in itself but cannot be enforced in absence of written form or absence of proper stamp. Okay. For example, I have entered into an agreement for sale. But I have not got it registered, I have not got it stamped, and I want to go in the court and say, look here, he was supposed to sell the property to me, he should specifically perform the contract. There is something as specific performance act, which is also for contract. So he is not specifically performing his contract, please ask him to specifically perform. The court will ask me. Have you registered your agreement? Is it a registered agreement? Have you paid your stamp duty? No, I have not. Sorry. You cannot go ahead and enforce the contract because you have not followed what is required to be done. After expiry, I go. I was supposed to go before expiry, but I go after expiry. Oh, this is an expired contract. I cannot enforce this now. So, it should be within the parameter. It may so happen all the 11 ingredients have been present in the contract, but because of lacuna, you have not stamped it, not signed it, not executed something, which makes that particular contract unenforceable. Now, illegal contracts. Now, these are unlawful contracts, for example, where the consideration or the object is unlawful. Now, consideration, I am receiving money. Money is lawful. But in exchange, I am selling liquor to underage parties. I am selling drugs, opium, cocaine. These are illegal contracts. They are no contract in eyes of law. The consideration or the object of the agreement is unlawful and is forbidden by law. And that's why, and it is against the public policy, is immoral. Hence, they are termed as illegal contracts. Now, let us understand what are contracts which are on the basis of the performance, how they have been performed. One is the executed contract. Now, what is an executed contract? It is one when both the parties have performed their obligations and carried out the terms. It is the other term is a complete contract. I have executed. I have performed my part of duty. You have performed your part of duty. For example, I have entered into an agreement for sale that is stamped, that is registered. All the payments have been made and I have taken possession of the house. So, the contract stands executed. No other parties to do any other further obligation as stipulated under the contract. The other is executory, where the obligation is yet to be done or pending to be done, partly not done. Again, agreement for sale, I will give you example. We enter into agreement for sale. I am buying a property. I have given a particular token. Now, what I am supposed to do is, I am going ahead and applying to the housing for a housing loan and the vendor is supposed to give me the no objection. So, there are certain obligations. Part I have already performed, part is yet to be performed. Okay, so partially it is performed and partially it remains to be performed. So it can be unilateral or bilateral. That is, only I am yet to perform, he has maybe given, the vendor has given me the NOC, he has given all the forms. It's just that my housing loan is pending, his obligation is done. It is just my obligation. So it's a unilateral. Both of our obligations are pending. It's bilateral, both two.